But let's start our travels today on a country road in northern Victoria, where the search is on for a little bird with a lot of character.
Oh, that was one. Just... Yeah. Hear that?
Yeah.
That's one.
Chris Zaros knows how to find endangered birds, and this is what he's looking for.
The grey crowned babbler, it's a little endangered bird. It's chocolate brown, white, little grey streak down the crown, hence the name the grey crowned babbler.
Hello, I'm Warwick Long, out here with Chris Zaros, who's been engaged by the Goulburn Broken Catchment Management Authority to conduct a bird survey north of Shepparton between Echuca and Cobram in northern Victoria. He's not looking in heavily forested areas, rather he's concentrating his efforts on small clumps of trees and shrubs, almost the disused areas in the corners of paddocks and along country roadsides.
It's an endangered little bird. As I said, it used to occur across much of southeastern Australia. It's now dropped out of many parts of the landscape. Just in recent decades has it actually gone regionally extinct from many areas. But up here, up around this Nathalia, Pecola, Katupna sort of district, we're in a little bit of a hot spot of their range. So, you know, this sort of habitat here that we're in amongst is absolutely vital to babblers and also the other birds that I'm working on, the superb parrot and the bushstone curlew. And if it wasn't for this farmland remnant vegetation and this bit of edge here along the roadside and the creek line, these birds just wouldn't be here.
For months, Chris is living out of his four-wheel drive out here in the bush, looking for these endangered bird species. And today, I'm joining him.
Well, my brief in this instance by the CMA is to map out or do surveys for three endangered species, the grey crowned babbler, the bushstone curlew and the superb parrot.
And we're standing here, Chris, on a classic bush intersection, really two dirt roads going different ways. There's a few farms, there's a ploughed paddock over one shoulder and barren harvested crop paddocks sort of all around us. In the middle, there's what you expect to see on any one of these intersections, really just a few trees, a little bit of a nature reserve along a dry creek bed. Why have you brought me here? It seems a very insignificant kind of place.
Well, welcome to my office, Warwick. This is where we've got not only one, but two family groups of these endangered grey crowned babblers. So we've got three birds on this side of the road, two adults and an immature bird. And then just over here, we've got a family group of seven birds. One of the best or the best survey technique for the grey crowned babbler is to play calls, of their territorial calls. So I've got an MP3 player and a little portable amplifier. And if I'm in an area that they can hear me, they will respond back.
You've got your equipment, the car's just passed us, so the intersection's free. Let's go and play some calls and see if we can find some more babblers.
No worries, I reckon your chances are good here. I reckon those birds are just down in there, so I'll fire them up a bit. Well, I'll just turn the little device on here. These birds can often come right down to the calls. So I'll put the calls just at the bottom of this tree here and walk away, set ourselves up in a position, and we'll see what comes in.
So there we go. Not too far from the tree. So now you're setting up. You've got just an old MP3 player?
Yeah, this is the MP3 player, and just put the speaker in here, turn it on, and away we go.
And generally, how long do you have to wait for a response?
Well, there they are right now. So pretty much within seconds of turning that on, I could hear the birds about 50 metres away here behind us call back to it. And here they come in now. They're coming in the line. I've actually had them jumping around on the ground, looking into the speaker, thinking, where are the babblers in my territory? Yeah. Oh, I can hear the other group calling. That's the other group calling in the distance, the neighbouring group. Here?
Yeah.
So that's their usual, that little yapping sort of call. Yep. That's their usual sort of contact call. And it's that loud yahooing that car alarm type of call. That's their territorial call. So that's the call that they'll broadcast to let other neighbouring groups know that this is our territory. So.
And that's what you use to convince them to come and show themselves to you?
That's right. When I'm doing their surveys, I want to maximise my chances of finding them. So I'll play that territorial call. And if there's birds around, it's almost 100% guarantee that they will respond back to this thing. I've been working on this endangered species for 20, 25 years now, but I still get a real buzz when I play that call and I get babblers respond to it and come in, because they're just such a comical little bird. They're a lot of fun to watch, and you know, like I said before, they're not the most brightly coloured bird that you'll get around the district, but they make up for the lack of colour in that just all those antics that they get up to. They jump around, they sort of preen each other, they're hopping around on each other's backs and cackling away and flapping their wings around, and they've just got a hell of a lot of character. They're a lovely little bird.
Managing this project is Jenny Wilson from the Goulburn Broken Catchment Management Authority. She says they're using the data collected by Chris Saros out here in the bush to find the places where environmental work is most needed.
The CMA provides incentives to landholders to do environmental works, putting in understory and planting corridors and things like that. But we have to do that in areas where we know that we're going to make a difference to biodiversity and to threatened species. So it's great to get Chris out here and just confirming that this is where we have got some threatened species and this is where we need to do some works. So we really do rely on farmers' goodwill and participation in our programs to really get some great actions happening on the ground.
And to help an endangered species, you have to know it's there in the first place, don't you?
Yeah, that's right. And so Chris's survey work has been, you know, it's fantastic. And, you know, it's more stories that we can tell about why this area is really important, not just for farming, but also for our unique species.
And that's really interesting. What does it mean to you to have data that tells you where species are and where they aren't?
Yeah, so we can't just put money everywhere and just hope we're doing something. So we have to really hone in on areas that are important to our threatened species and all the woodland birds and other species that are here. And so it's really important that we know where they are, and then we can tell the community and the funders and everyone else that this is an important area to go, and we do need funding to help us protect these species.
And how willing is the farming community to help out protect endangered species on their own properties?
Look, they're just fantastic, and so many farmers are keen to help out, you know, to do works on their land, to do some understory planting and fence off their remnants and things like that. And it never ceases to amaze me, actually, when we put the call out, just how many people do come back to us and say, yes, I want to do some works. And the best thing is when they come back for the second and third time, because often they'll start off, I'll try doing a little bit, and then they see the difference it makes to them and how much their farm improves and their bird diversity improves and things like that, and then they just keep doing more and more stuff. So it's just fantastic.
Already for 2 weeks, Chris Saros has been hard at it. And like with many of these things, there's good news and bad news.
It's a bit of a bittersweet scenario that we're looking at here. So you can see the dots on this map here where we've got the orange dots of babbler records from about 20 odd years ago. And then the red dots are the sites that I've just recorded babblers in the last couple of weeks. Now, you can see that in some areas I've not been able to put a red dot on top of an old orange dot, which means that that group from 20 years ago has gone. And sadly, this is why the babbler is endangered. We've got too many of these dots dropping off the map, too many of these birds falling out of the landscape. They've just got too old and they've just died out. But then in many areas, and up in this district, around Nathalia in particular, there's the very active Superb Parrot Project. And they're a community group that are direct seeding and planting a lot of the understory shrubs, the wattles, the hop bushes and so forth. And the Superb Parrots definitely do get out there and forage on those shrubs. But we're also getting a benefit to other threatened species. And the grey-crowned babbler, who likes to come along and nest in these shrubs that are 5 to 10 years old, they're making use of this habitat that was essentially planted for the superb parrot. Inaction equals extinction with these threatened species. If you do nothing, they'll pretty much go. The point has really come for threatened species management where people need to intervene.
Wildlife ecologist Chris Tsaros conducting that bird survey for the Goulburn Broken Catchment Management Authority. He was speaking with Warwick Long. Still to come on this special summer edition of A Country Breakfast today, Cairns-based butcher Gavin Marsh continues a family tradition in far north Queensland. And we're off to Pigeonhole Station in the Northern Territory, where two Indonesian students are getting some real hands-on experience.
Hello, my name is Satria. I'm from Bogor Agricultural University, Indonesia.
My name is Muhammad Fiki, and I'm from Hasanuddin University in South Sulawesi, Indonesia.
Long days spent mustering cattle on horseback, drafting in the yards, and even a spot of pig testing. Life has certainly been different and exciting for these two young university students over the past 5 weeks. G'day there, I'm Danny Fitzgerald on Pigeonhole Station in the Northern Territory, where station manager Matt Rippon and his stock camp have been giving these two a crash course in how to be a ringer. Fiki and Satria are here on the top end as part of the Indonesia-Australia Pastoral Program, an initiative set up by the Northern Territory Cattlemen's Association to strengthen relationships between the two countries. For the past 5 weeks, they've been camping out under the stars in swags, even trying to catch a barra at the end of the day. And today's challenge, saddling up and riding a horse.
Today we our first time to trying riding a horse.
So for the past few weeks, you've been doing a lot of work in the yards. But today you are on the horses. How are your horse riding skills going?
It's getting better, but not as good as this people here, of course. Yeah.
Are you getting lots of tips from the other ringers?
Yeah, of course. To walk them, trot, even canter. Yeah.
You've cantered with the horse?
Accidentally.
Now, Vicky, you've been camping out in the stock camp for the last week or so. What's stock camp like?
Yeah, so we have been two times for stock camp, in the first stock camp, and this is our second stock camp. We live in the wildlife. We sleep in swag, under the star and the moon. Oh, so beautiful.
How are you finding sleeping in a swag?
Oh, I think sleeping in a swag is very good, very excited to do that. Yeah, because sometimes we see, we hear a sound like a wild dog or dingo. or yesterday night, we hear about wild pig sound. And a little bit panic.
A little bit scared at those nighttime noises.
But sometimes sometimes there are a snake or something, we're scared about that.
How has it been living and working with the other ringers on the station here?
We help each other, and sometimes we are working and make it funny. After we work hard, we going to fishing. With other ringers.
Have you managed to catch yourself a barra?
No. Only dogfish. Oh, maybe not dogfish, but catfish.
Do you feel you've made some friends in the stock camp here?
Yeah. We feel like family here with other ringers. Yes, because and sometimes we eat together in dinner, breaky, and we do some joking when we are finishing our working.
You're coming up to your last few days here on the station. What are you going to miss about Pigeonhole?
Many things, because here I learned to be tough. Everyone is very good mates. Everyone I think is our best teachers. We learn so many from them, and they also understand our capability. I will miss the people, the atmosphere, and everything in here.
What skills and knowledge are you going to take home to Indonesia?
We learn a lot of about cattle, about cattle handling. I have a dream in the future.
From the founder of Apple to comedian Andy Samberg, from the head of Netflix to the man who built the World Wide Web, from the creators of the record-breaking podcast Serial to startups that are breaking ground right here in Australia. If you want to hear from the movers and the shakers, media, technology and culture around Australia and the globe, there is literally one show. It also happens to be the most literally named show. Download this show with me, Mark Fennell. Media, technology, culture. Find it on the RN website now or on the ABC Radio app.